Okay, translation. As long as the great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. Okay, I'm going to, actually, if you're on this GoToMeeting thing here, it's a screen. I'm trying to go back now because the pocket cover is over my whole thing here. Okay. I'm going to go to Srimad Bhagavatam, 18th canto. Yeah. And it says in the beginning, this is only the fifth and sixth text, text number one in this 18th canto says, Siddha Goswami said, due to the mercy of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Maharaj Pariksit is struck by the weapon of Drona, the son of Drona, and his mother's womb cannot be burned. It's always kind of like it impresses me that son maybe has a localized thermonuclear weapon directed at her embryo. Seems like a very, kind of Godzilla versus Donald Duck or something, Uther is running around with this localized thermonuclear smart bomb trying to burn up her embryo. And she's hopping over the beds, sliding out the door, and everything else like that. Okay. And again, this first canto is a preface. Srimad Bhagavatam is a very means of conquest. But the first canto tells us, like, what's the circumstance? Who's talking to who? Who are they? What's the purpose of the book? That's all in the preface. So Kali Yuga is coming, Krishna is leaving, an arrangement is made. So Maharaj Pariksit, he's a really good student, and Sukadeva Goswami, he's really a good teacher, in a really good environment, can talk about Krishna and produce Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the corpus of discussions about Krishna, his name, fame, paraphernalia, pastimes, and well, these are contemplated, absorbed, heard, chanted, thought about, analyzed, organized in the intelligence, then we'll see that Kali Yuga can't enter. So we're almost finished. It describes all this history. This is the 18th chapter. Just one more chapter. In the previous chapter, Maharaj Pariksit came on the scene and he was like, chastising Kali, protecting Dharma and Bhumi, the cow and the bull. And then in the end, the very last verse in the 17th chapter, it says that Maharaj Pariksit is still like the emperor now, and because of that, Kali Yuga can't flourish. So, of course, that's strange because Siddha is talking to the sages after, the death of Maharaj Pariksit. And so in the purport, it probably says it can mean just like in the sense that he's present through his administration, through his organization, other things like that. So, in any case, it's still continuing. There's a specific story of Bhumi, Dharma, Kali, and Pariksit, Maharaj. And then after that, he puts everything in order. Basically, from our point of view, he kind of creates Las Vegas. I fly in Southwest Airlines a lot. So sometimes the transit, city is Las Vegas. And we'll be flying over from Houston to Las Vegas to Boise, Idaho or something, And you're going over the desert, nothing, no people. And suddenly in the horizon, rising out of there comes this subterranean heavenly planet, Bilbiswarga. And there's like an imitation Eiffel Tower, imitation everything. It's just like unbelievable place. The material opulence in Bilbiswarga is greater than the material opulence in Swargaloka. And there's no sunlight there. So in these big casinos, there's 24-hour shows going on with the girls dancing and singing and comedy and agitation, gambling, swimming pools, clothing, hairdressing. So you can stay in one of these places 24 hours a day for days on end and never see the sunlight. And you go from one celestial gratification to another. So that's what Maharaj Pariksit did. He created this location where, Kali Yuga can go on to its fullest extent. Actually, there's a famous phrase I've heard. It says that whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So very good. And that's it. And also, we'll go on to the purple talk about this. Okay, so he did this. And then text number one says, due to the mercy of the personality of God or Shri Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Maharaj Parikshit was struck by the weapon of the son of Drona, Drona, and his mother's womb cannot be burned. So here's the first condition. He was protected by Krishna. Of course, Krishna can protect all kinds of demons, too, if he has certain purposes for them. So the second thing is, text two, furthermore, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead. And therefore, he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of the Brahmin boy. So if somebody told me this week I was going to be in an auto accident and some metal from the car was going to rip my stomach open and my intestines would fall on the ground, you know, I had to be like in a lot of, you know, thoughtful mode about the whole thing. And maybe as an ordinary person, I would be afraid. You know? Probably myself, even if I faced something like that, with certainty, I would be afraid. You know? So first thing, Krishna was protecting them. Second thing, it says he was consciously surrendered. Amyabhi lasita shunyam jnana karmati anavritam anakuryena krishna nishiranam bhakti rukama. This is the definition of what is bhakti. Text number 1.1.11 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of course, it's a super principal text for us, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Srila Prabhupada. 1.1.11. 1.1.11. You can always remember it. And you see it that I mentioned so many times. It's, of course, it's worth memorizing. So it defines what is Uttama Bhakti. Anukuryena Krishna. It's activity for Krishna to the parampara, empowered by Krishna. That's what it is. Shilanam. It's not just thinking about something, it's actually doing something for Krishna. But of course, Duryodhana was also doing wonderful things for Krishna. He got everybody in one place at one time so Krishna could eliminate all the extra kshatriyas within 18 days. But the thing was, it wasn't anukuryena. It was pratikuryena. It wasn't done with a conscious intention to please Krishna. Actually, it was probably done more with like a semi-consciousness of trying to irritate Krishna. Not directly, but to some degree. Okay. So 118.1, Krishna's protecting Maharaj Parikshit. 118.2, Maharaj Parikshit is conscious to surrender Krishna. And 118.3, even more, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyasadeva. So he took a guru. In the third activity, he was protected by Krishna. He was surrendered to Krishna, but to God. And finally, he also accepted an acharya to understand God. Four. This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns will sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions, even at the last moment of their lives. Okay. So in the previous verse it says, after surrendering to Guru, he was able to understand the position of Krishna. Okay. Now, we may think we understand, but how many times can we actually call on Krishna and expect an immediate response? You know, like that. We have an email address or something, a Skype number, or a telephone number. We have Krishna's cell phone number, but we don't always get, you know, Krishna coming online right away. So we don't understand his real confidential number. But Maharaj Parikshit, he understood the position of Krishna so much that he wasn't afraid of death. He wasn't afraid of his service being disturbed, you know, by these activities. You know, why? Because he had dedicated himself to Shravan and Kirtan. You know? And because of that, if we dedicate ourselves to Shravan and Kirtan, Then we have the connection to Guru. You can get Krishna's personal mercy and protecting us, dedicated to hearing and chanting about Krishna. In today's verse, and 56, as long as that great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance for the personality of Kali to flourish. Of course, he's already gone, so it's probably talking about, you know, the present continuous sense. His government's still there, and he's present to his representatives. And 8:6, the very day and moment the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, left this earth, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of irreligious activities, came into this world. Some public purports, in 8:5, which if you want to go to reading now, you should be able to see this. Yes? Yeah. Tell this is the purport. As long as we have already explained, the personality of Kali had entered the jurisdiction of this earth long ago, and he was looking for an opportunity to spread his influence all over the world. So Kali, just like we're trying to spread Krishna consciousness, Kali has an enthusiasm to spread evil all over the world. Yeah. But he could not do so satisfactorily to him, due to the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. That is the way of good government. The disturbing elements, like the personality of Kali, will always try to extend their nefarious activities. As soon as I read this, I think about my own mind. You know, there are definitely disturbing elements in my personality, you know, which want to do all kinds of nefarious activities. I mean, if I had the power of Hiranyakasipu, my God, people would be in a lot of trouble like that. I would go around assaulting people and eating people and everything else if some of the thoughts in my mind were able to activate themselves. Jayananda told me, Hanuman, if you had to live in my mind one day, you wouldn't like it. You know? So all these lusty, arrogant, greedy activities, they come. What can you expect? You know, we're seeing all these things every day in the media, the communication. So we're being stimulated by all these kind of things like that. You know? And we have a little tendency to be demons. So we're identifying with the criminal aspect of the movies, not always the heroes. Okay. But this cannot happen satisfactorily if the presence of Maharaj Parikshit is there. That is the way of good government. The disturbing elements like the personality of Kali will always try to extend their nefarious activities. So our mind will always try and extend these things. But it is the duty of the able state to check them by all means. Yeah. So we have so many means we can do this. You know, thinking, feeling, willing. The first off is duty, perspective. And we're starting to develop a fruitive mentality. And our Buddhi is starting to become fruitive and starting to become, you know, that kind of perspective. How do we correct it? There's so many means. Of course, one of the very best means is get up early and get your rounds done. If you get up and drink Dhamma Muhurta, 96 minutes to 48 minutes before sunrise, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, and part of the deity, association of devotees, with a proper attitude, which we can get from the Srimad Bhagavatam class, then we can feel it, you know, very quickly. And so we can feel how it's changing our heart, you know, it's changing our whole being, you know, it's changing the fruit of activity. Now, why am I here? What am I going to get out of this? And we're thinking, we begin to think, well, no, look, I'm in front of Radha and Krishna. What are they going to get out of it? Yeah. Because of the mercy of Prabhupada, our group leader, who was describing with the Vedastika, our actual service is actually going to them. You know, being among a lot of people, hopping up and down, singing. And then we can sing better. We can chant better. We can make more rhythm. We can integrate more as a group, a choral group. We can understand what the words mean. you can, you know, chant like that. You can think about day. So that's the Mangalartik is not the time to work on your mind. It's the time to work on your heart. The time to work on your perspective. And when the perspective sticks, the base, the subconscious, then as the day progresses, you chant around, and then you have a nice class, which then is more intellectual. And then finally, you know, we're ready. We have our perspective is really fixed. It's solid. And of course, Maya starts to attack it. Kali has more influence, the more the passion begins. Profit, perspectives, calendars, time, goals. And so now it's more easy for Kali to enter in. The bank's open. You know? But we have a good basis. You know? So we can fight it. Krishna keeps reminding us to correct our mentality, to correct our heart, always be generous, not be greedy. And then finally, in the evening, of course, you come back, and then we can, you know, have a full evening program to reconnect intelligence. So these artiks, kirtan, formal times, are really good opportunities, the japa, to really work on correcting our perspective. And then with a good perspective, then we can actually control the mind, you know, by so many techniques. Because many of us have taken birth in these Western bodies, we won't be able to stop thinking about gross illicit sex like that. Yeah. So they probably would say, because of this birth, like the last moment, these thoughts will be lingering and floating because it's just the way our body is kind of hardwired like that. But we'll be able to ignore them and keep them very much in their place like that, yeah? And be fully absorbed. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe when we come to Bhava and we don't even have a material body in our consciousness, we'll be able to give them up. But Vyasadeva, when he was chasing Sukadeva Goswami, he had to adopt that mentality of this particular body. Okay, so we know that if I don't talk about these things, I won't think about them. When the devotee asked Prabhupada, well, Prabhupada, I have to talk to the ladies in the pujari room. I'm doing a lot of duty service, and I really don't know how to talk with them properly. And Prabhupada said, loudly. Yeah. Because then, you know, many times the consciousness of material consciousness of a lady will be trying, you know, just to be close to a man, and very natural, and be intimate, you know, very, very natural for a material consciousness for a lady to want to do that. But of course, then there's naturally so much stimulation. So if we're talking loudly between the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis or whatever, then automatically everything becomes public. And it's, you know, it's very nice. And so there are many techniques like that of how to keep the mind from thinking about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Everybody has to develop their own collection of techniques in terms of their body and everything else. You know? Again, you know, the lady is very natural to be fixed on her son, her husband, her daddy. And she sees this. So, okay, I'm doing this and that. I'm 14 years old and starting to hang out with boys after school, and they want to drink wine coolers. But wow, what is my daddy going to think about me? You know, he loves me. You know, considers me a little angel. I'm not going to do this. Forget it. You know? So then somebody else, you know, some brahmachari, you know, they take a shot of his intelligence, logic, and understanding of this and that, you know, and preach to his mind from that logical level, developing good logical, analytical understanding. So we have to check these nefarious activities, which are trying to expand always, you know, by all means. And we have to develop it in our own character. And of course, also we can mention this in society, you know, amongst your family, amongst our community. Yeah. All the Maharaj Pariksit allotted places the personality of Kali. At the same time, he gave no chance for the citizens to be swayed by the personality of Kali. So it's interesting, in Vastu, Rahu and Ketu are there, but they're outside the front door. They act like guard dogs, and they, I guess you bring them prasadam and stuff, but they stay outside the front door, and then Vastu, Rahu and Ketu. So same way, maybe, you know, if ISKCON devotees, for example, like a temple president or something, they have a temple, and devotees are coming, and some devotees are influenced, and they're smoking marijuana. So he tells them, okay, you know, if you're going to be a temple devotee, you can't do this. like that. Yeah? One of my disciples, his parents were functional alcoholics, and he was having a really, a really hard time growing up, so many emotional scars. So he was in a moderately good-sized ISKCON temple. And there was a lot of stress, pressure that he was working. So he started smoking a little marijuana, you know. And then one day the temple president caught him. He was a real heavy guy. He said, "Come to my office." You know? So my disciple was terrified, went to the office, and the president said, "Where are you getting this stuff?" And spontaneously he said, "But Prabhu, I only smoke with Prabhupada disciples." There we go. So the president was staring at him. If one moment was able to hold a straight face, then he broke into hysterical laughter and he was breathing a little bit. He said, "Calm down." He said, okay, you're a devotee and everything else. But this can't go on. You've got to stop this. You've got to take care of this. So anyway, he talked about it, you know, like that. And more like father to son rather than Yamaraj to somebody else. And there were all these problems with stress and everything else. And he kind of decided it was okay for him to stay in the temple. But he had to make an adjustment like that. Yeah? So the temple president may say, "Okay, you can come and you can clean up after Sunday feast. You got a service every Sunday. And if you want to smoke a lot of marijuana with your friends before you come." I know people, they did do this for 20 years. They smoke a lot of marijuana before the Sunday feast. They go have a really good rolling kirtan. They do a lot of prasad. And they clean the whole temple after the Sunday feast. And they 20 years some guys have been doing this. You know? Okay, so it's not going to influence the temple devotees because they're like separated. But you've got a place where these guys can be engaged. And eventually, you know, they're acquiring pious credits that will kick in like that. This is the, even in ISKCON, you know, good administration, because the influence of Pali will be there, but it means you have to find a place for it. You know? And then the regular devotees in the temple and the community won't be influenced. Text number 18:6. Yasmin ahani yahyeva Bhagavan Ipsa Sajadam Tadai Vihanu Vipto Sva Sar Adharma Pamabhakara. Translation. The very day and moment the personality of Godhead, when Sri Krishna left this planet, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of irreligious activities. Hey, check it out. I mean, this is, I didn't have to check that out, you know. KaliYuga.org and KaliYuga.edu. Maybe I shouldn't do it. You know? Maybe KaliYuga has his website where he's promoting all kinds of irreligious activities. Came into this world. The first purport, the personality of Godhead, so Prabhupada, and his holy name, qualities, etc., are all identical. Now, the personality of Kali was not able to enter the jurisdiction of the earth through the presence of the personality of Godhead. And similarly, if there is an arrangement for the constant chanting of the holy names, qualities, etc., of the personality of Godhead, there is no chance at all for the personality of Kali to enter. God is the strongest, God is the most beautiful, God is the most intelligent, God is the most famous, God is the most renowned, God is the richest. Yeah, all these qualities. That is the technique of driving away the personality of Kali from the world. In modernized human society, there are great advancements of material science, and they have invented the radio to distribute sound in the air. So instead of vibrating some nuisance sound for sense enjoyment, if the state arranges to distribute transmittal sound by resounding the holy name, fame, and activities of the Lord as we are authorized in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, then the favorable condition will be created, and the principles of religion in the world will be reestablished. Thus, the executive heads who are so anxious to drive away corruption from the world will be successful. Nothing is bad if properly used for the service of the Lord. I was thinking about this because I think when I'm traveling all over the world, it seems to be a tendency that the executive heads are no longer anxious to drive away corruption from the world. It's come to the point where the executive heads are kind of just accepting that this is reality and we're going to enjoy it just like anybody else. And then we're going to share that enjoyment with our group because we have political power. And so it's even become situations become more discussed, more degraded than in probability's purports. But some people are anxious. You know, I go and contact people. There are, and maybe you might say 15% of the world's administrators are good people. Some estimate like that. They may be devotees, but they're good people. And they want to do something good. And they can appreciate, you know, the communication with the divine and things like that. Yeah. So, of course, this, you know, is the thing, then, how do you use all these media? And right now we're doing it. You know, there aren't that many devotees in the world, but here we're connecting up, and we have a guess what is it about, like, you know, 20 devotees all connecting and hearing each other through radio. And it's becoming more sophisticated. We've been using this WebEx platform for about, I guess, almost 2 years now. It's almost identical with this one, as far as I can see. It allows you to share your desktop, and you can show pictures and stuff like that. I got to be a little careful, but one half a second here. Maybe get overloaded for 1 second, but I'll try something.
Maris, don't forget that the only one that can see this is me.
We're going to test the WebEx. It looks pretty quick.
We see Brother Ab.
Okay, it's loading up. Okay. It's still loading in our My Mission book and has a small processor, so it takes more time. Yeah. Okay. He likes to hear.
You'll have
to. So now we have another participant in the class here. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You'll have to explain what that is because the only one that can see it is me, but he looks very cute.
We have a very nice picture from our good collection of pictures here of Brother Ass. St. Francis said, his body is an ass, donkey, but we ride through this world. He said, don't spend all of your time taking care of an ass. Okay. So many times St. Francis was talking about Brother Ass, you know, keeping him moving, and not abusing him too much. So I have a picture on the screen now of Brother Ass. It shows his face and his big ears. He's actually cute. Yeah. He's got really big ears. Really big ears. Yeah. So he likes to hear. Yeah. So I'm just experimenting here to see what's available on this platform. But the nice thing is that we have like PowerPoint shows and everything else. And so when you get those going, you can actually do some nice communication, nice concentrated information exchange. Yeah. And we do a Japa Joe program every morning on WebEx from 1:30 a.m. till 3:30 a.m. wherever we are. About 5 to 15 people log on, and somebody chants for 30 minutes. You get for 2 hours, so 4 people chant. And we show pictures of the, you know, Mayapur TV, of Ivan Vrindavan, archives of Prabhupada, and different inspirational shlokas and some little chatting. And it's really nice. It really drags you to get up and say your rounds done by Mangal Arati. We also have a couple of Bhakti Bhai Baba classes and a couple of Bhakti Shastri classes that are going on using the WebEx thing. And pretty much our experience is that it's okay, but when it's combined with a traveling preacher, then it becomes really effective for the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Baba level. For example, Lakshmanagar Jaha Das, he travels around Peru, South Peru, Bolivia, like that, about every 7 weeks or something. So he has his internet classes every once a week with his students. And they have the local groups. They study together. And usually study partners, hour and a half. In small group, six people, hour and a half. And he shows up for about a week, every 7 weeks. And it's going on. It's really generating good comprehension. And now we're up to the third canto on Bhakti Bhai Baba. And in my mind for so long, I thought when it said the three worlds, it meant the whole cosmos. But now I'm understanding the three worlds just means Patala, Marcha, and Swarga. And above that is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka. And at the end of each day of Brahma, the three worlds are burnt and drowned. That Mahar, Jana, Tapa, and Brahma aren't covered. All it appears that Maharloka does get, you know, splashed with so much water it becomes uninhabitable, and Janaloka is not comfortable. You know? So the those who can do it, they transfer themselves, like Vidyaman, to Tapa Loka. Okay. And I guess those who can't have to be splashed and have to be uncomfortable and kind of sit out the flood in the moon. So anyway, the whole thing of using all this media, that's the trick. Because everybody has different techniques. Everybody has different positions. Whether you're a lady with your children or a software engineer, or even if, one last thing, the thought I had, is if we can take all the nuclear weapons in the world, it's interesting, all these atomic missiles, and all the guidance systems, and we can integrate them. Then one day we can shoot all the nuclear weapons in the world into outer space and ignite them and spell out Haribo in the sky. So everybody, maybe from the different galaxies, you'll be able to see this. One big fireworks show with this impossible television. Haribo! So all the nuclear weapons will suddenly be, or we can have a competition. The Russians and the Americans can compete. We can have the best intergalactic fireworks show. Haribo. Okay, that's kind of our deranged thoughts on these verses. That Kali Yuga is here. The thoughts are here. It's in our temples, it's in our society. The Prabhupada is saying if you have good administration, you can figure out and have the strength by Krishna's mercy, by being surrendered, and by having a guru, to make arrangements to keep Kali localized, where ordinary people won't be tempted. You know, ordinary people will, even though they have a weakness, for example, one last point. Vedic government means that the places of chastisement are where the common people can see them. So if a common person who has these weaknesses and tendencies to drink, smoke, be attracted to these things, steal, every day on the way to work, he goes by the prison, and he sees like the chastisement going there, and he's an old boy. I don't want to get in that mess. Forget this alcohol. Put the bottle out the window. And the chastisements described in the Manu Samhita and others are very severe. That's because the common people read those. So you steal something, you steal $500 or something, you get caught, you get hauled before the baron, and he says, "Look, fella." Right here in the Manu Samhita, it says, "I can chop off both of your hands right here and right now." You know, and of course you're terrified and saying, "Hopefully, don't do it." Maybe. And the king, you know, he would always be tolerant, and he said, "But look, this time I'm going to give you a chance. You know? But I don't want to see you in my court ever again." And so, of course, that's probably enough for the whole lifetime. Nobody is ever going to steal again. So that we're designed like that, would be a practical application. If the laws were very severe and strict, when it came to the application, the king would then usually be the just and stuff, and people would come in person and give a show, an example, you know, emotional thing. And they like it. They like their parents to be strict. They don't want to be exploited by these thoughts. Okay, at this point, I will now return control of the instrument. I will ask something, somebody here. Is Barack Obama asking Ron Castillo to take control of the organization once again?
Oh, really? I don't see where it says that. Anyway, you can hear me?
I can hear you. Ron. This is Barack.
Okay, I've unmuted everybody on free conferencing. Those that are on Skype, you can unmute yourself. And I guess you can hear everybody. Is there an echo here, or you can hear all right?
Yeah, Ramananda, the second blue button from the bottom, it says make another attendee the presence, the presenter. So if you want to make yourself the presenter, you can do that now.
Okay. I just did.
You don't have to.
All right, fine. There we go. Anybody have any questions or comments for Maharaj?
Anybody have any problems controlling their minds?
Big time.
I have just a comment on, since this is an experiment with GoToMeeting, either Maharaj's microphone, his setup with his computer, or the platform itself, it's not as clear as Skype. I was having a hard time understanding what Maharaj was saying because it was kind of muddled. The setup. And I don't know if it's the platform or the maybe Maharaj's computer, but it's
is it muddled now?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
how
not
is it
clear.
Now? Is it better? Is it better?
A little bit.
Is it better now or is it worse?
No, that's a little better.
Okay.
Interestingly, sounds pretty normal to me, and I'm listening on the new platform. I don't think I would have noticed the difference, quite frankly, between if I was on pre-conferencing or Skype or one go to meeting. It sounds pretty good here.
Okay.
Make changes gradually.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. Let's see. Harsh is typing in a question.
Okay.
Today's world, there are... Let's see. Am I unmuted? Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm looking. So, Maharaj, can you hear me?
I'm looking for the microphone settings here. I found them. It's almost the same as WebEx, but...
I'll read Harsh Prabhu's question. In today's world, there are many countries which are just making stricter rules. Why is not working then?
What is it again?
In today's world, there are many countries that are just making stricter rules, why not working then as an administrator? I read it exactly.
Okay. How's the microphone now?
I think it's better. Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect.
Yeah, because if you look on the thing, it says microphone and speakers, and on the right-hand side, it has a thing called settings.
Mm-hmm.
And I selected my external microphone. And it may have been using the computer microphone.
It's clear enough.
Yeah, you gotta. So all these things, you gotta select the right microphone, you know, and stuff. So what is Harsh's question? I think that people are making more and more strict rules, but nobody's enforcing them? Is that the question?
That's the way I heard it, Maharaj.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, for example, what I hear from many people, many sources, for example, one of our friends is a graduate professor at university, and he says more and more they're telling him you can't fail people, and if you catch them cheating, right at that one time you cannot accept the thing, but you can't do anything about it. And you go, you're cheating on this. You got to stop that. You can't cheat, but you can't get any kind of chastisement or anything else. So he quit the university he was working at and went to university which is more strict. But it's becoming more and more like that. The rules and the standard is lowering. I can't remember where it was. It was some university where they just told the guys you cannot fail people. Yeah? As long as they're paying their monthly things, they're part of the university, you've got to pass them. Yeah? Like that, yeah? And so I don't think everywhere things are getting more strict. And then what we hear from in India, for example, there's a big conference at the Indian Museum, unbelievable. The one former Supreme Court Justice, former Governor of West Bengal, presidents of universities, they all participated. And that's why they're so sick. It gets Harsh, too. Harsh worked like, some tree horses to make it all happen. But it was very good. And they were commenting the same thing, that the Supreme Court of India, maybe it does have some purity and make some proper decisions, but then nobody applies it. And decisions are made, but then the administrative branch doesn't apply it. So I think the general rule is this is Kali Yuga. This is Kali Yuga, and everybody can see to want to cheat as administrators, to want to cheat as parents, to want to cheat as students, as children. So everywhere it's this thing of hypocrisy and self-gratification in the lowest, quickest fashion at the expense of everybody else. And so it goes towards that. And it manifests in so many ways. You know? And the only solution, the Prabhupada is saying, is we have to have more hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this program we did at the Indian Museum is so much austerity. Nias is a co-sponsor. And the title was, our suggestion, the contribution of classical Indian culture to making a better world. And so it was coming up with like nice things. There were very few of them, not as many of them, but some of them were Krishna conscious. Some were Vishnu conscious, God conscious. But in general, things were like spiritually conscious. There is like a spirit, there is a higher dimension to life, more than the mind. So it was very good. Good opportunity to increase hearing and chanting, talking. And the organizer from our side, Dr. Banda Padyar, said he's organized many of these programs. And usually during the seminars, we get 50 to 60 people during the actual sessions. We're doing good. But if he counted, and not one time during any one of the sessions, there was ever less than 100 people. The museum is also amazed. So that which indicates that the audience is there, the people are there, they want to talk about these things. But that's part of the thing, is just putting it in a language that they can appreciate. Not just the media, but it has to be expanded into a certain kind of language and perspective, that they can also get into, like the taste of water, the light of the sun, the fragrance of the earth. Okay, I like those. I like some of John Denver's songs. I'm doing a PowerPoint show. I did a PowerPoint show for Annie's song by John Denver. And it worked out really nice. You know? You can really think about Krishna and all wrong. You know? Any other comments, questions, complaints?
Yes, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Dhanavad. You might have actually already answered with this last question that was put to you, because I'm reading the in part of the purport to the fifth verse, where Prabhupada says that that the disturbing elements of the personality Kali will always try to extend their nefarious activities, but it is the duty of the able state to check them all. And in this phrase of the able state, how can such an able state exist when Kali Yuga, it's the nature of Kali Yuga to quarrel, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, from the leadership on down to the citizens in the street. What I'm trying to ask is that it doesn't sound like a practical instruction because Kali Yuga is supposed to be an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. How do we reconcile that?
Okay, I'm getting the same problem that Buddy was describing with your voice.
Wow.
So it appears that it is the problem that I'm going from one platform to the other. But I can understand you because you're talking to me like that.
Do I need to repeat the question?
No. Okay. No, it was clear. But
okay.
It is going wah. Yeah, nice
okay.
Yeah. So the answer is, I mean, it appears this is a very natural question. You're a genius because the answer is in tomorrow's verse. I guess it's tomorrow, the next class. It's in the next class like that. And Prabhupada says, what was it? Kalodo saying in the John, Astihi Eko Maham Vinad Kirtanari Vakrishnasya Mukta Sangha Palam Vajat. That in the age, everything's bad in the age of Kali. You can't get help from anything or anybody. But the thing is, in the age of Kali, you can get liberation from all these problems, and you can create a completely spiritual atmosphere just by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Bad thoughts in previous ages had a reaction. In this age, they don't have a reaction until you actually do them. Okay. And in this age, the chanting of the holy names is especially potent. So that's what a Brahmin means in Kali Yuga. He engages in chanting japa, he does kirtan with other devotees, and he recites and chants Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita is just a Srimad Bhagavatam class. So many supplementary things. And by this, he becomes pious. He becomes strong, he becomes clear-minded, he becomes clever, he becomes healthy. And then once the Brahmin class has some strength and potency and purity, then they can start to aspire to administrators. What's an administrator? I think it was Parthasarathy, our sergeant from Iraq there in the war. One time he told me, he said, Hanuman Swami, you better understand, soldiers are not intelligent. Soldiers are brave. Okay. He had 130 guys, so many soldiers under him. And he said, you tell your soldiers, he said, okay, guys, you see that hill 1 mile away? They say, yeah. He said, we're going to take it. And they say, yes, sir. Okay. But if you tell them, you see that farmhouse, half a mile away? And he said, yes, sir. Okay. So first we're going to secure that farmhouse, and then we're going to go ahead and take the hill. And they say, the farmhouse, yes, sir. He said, if you give soldiers two objectives, it's like doubtful. If you give them three objectives, it's a guaranteed failure. I'll never be able to figure out what to do with other people's brains. So you can relate to this. Yeah. So your mind, your family, okay. Yeah. So, but once you tell a soldier, this is the objective. Hanuman said, hey, I don't understand all the other gorillas in your mind and good. I don't understand all the intricacies of Dharma and Adharma, Ram and Sita and Ravana. But Ram and Lakshman want this. And that's enough for me. Is that enough for you? And yeah, it's enough. Ram, Lakshman, okay, yeah. So that's Kshatriyas. They're not bright guys. But a lot of times they're a lot more brave than Brahmanas when it comes down to it. So the brahmanas, they get it together, they establish the parameters, they establish the goals, and every now and again they kick in and say, okay, calm down, put it out hand. But once they're there, then the society, the government can actually expand. So the real thing in ISKCON and preaching fields and the different societies and governments, I tell you, people at the universities, I tell them, all these problems in your corruption in Peru are because of the universities. And they look at the ground and scratch the ground with their feet. They know that they've become corrupted, greedy, selfish. And it's almost, not everybody, but almost invariably, they accept the guilt. If we were more together and stuff like that. They know the government comes to them right and left. The government comes to them again and again asking questions about what to do about all these standards. And you go and get the advice and give good advice. So that's the answer. First, about the invasion chanting Hare Krishna, the Brahmins become purified, and then Krishna will give opportunities to teach to the administrators in the society and the public society at large.
Maharaj, I have a challenge.
Okay.
Famous for challenges. The Middle Ages saw horrendous, unspeakable tortures. And somebody may object that if we're going to put in a strong government, as you were saying, that there was very, very exemplary public chastisement and punishment, are we going to go back to the dark ages where people actually suffer unbelievable tortures, mostly because of the influence of the church? Not all.
Yeah.
To a great degree.
Yeah. My understanding from history is that the dark ages have gotten a little bit like exaggerated bad rap. Because of the influence of the church, and because the secular society wanted to establish that they were the good guys and the church was the bad guys, and so that's why I understand in the first place that I won't say it wasn't corrupted. No, there were horrible things going on, but at the same time too, there were the political wars, the political violence were also unbelievable. The mass massacres and. It wasn't exactly a pleasant time in Europe. And beyond that, the diseases. The Black Plague killed more people than all the wars in the history of the world. But in general, I've heard that Bindu Swarup, he asked Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was saying, you just go on with the austerity. And we're seeing this in India now. It's kind of becoming, it's becoming like, this, for example, very typical. At this congress, seminar at the museum, the speaker was, the devotees came and they were very impressed to be able to do this kind of program. The devotees from the Calcutta temple came. This is expanding. They bought the property below. They put in a restaurant. The guest houses are full. They're making members. They have the Mangal Arch. They have about maybe 100 devotees. Some days there'll be a woman or two, but usually it's all bhaktas. And expanding systematically, so many young men. And so, the Prabhupada said is a fact. You just stick to the principles. He said eventually we'll have whole nations and whole armies under our authority. So Bindu Swarup said he heard this and he was worried because exactly the thing that you're talking about, the name of the rose, that's an echo, super famous thing in Sean Connery. It really shows like a very graphic example of those things. So he was worried about this. He asked Prabhupada, what will keep us from becoming corrupted by different religious institutions in the past? And he said, Prabhupada thought a little seriously, and he said, if you just chant 16 nice rounds and follow the four principles strictly, you won't become corrupted. So then, he wasn't completely sure about this. So after a couple of seconds, he asked Prabhupada politely again, Prabhupada, is that really enough? And he said, Prabhupada, even thinking more seriously, and he said, yes, that is enough. Now, I would say that there's just a technical effect of chanting good rounds. You know, you've got to be a little serious about, you know, about chanting good rhymes and not chanting horrible rhymes. We try some, there's some sincere effort. Okay, in principle, strictly, okay, you don't start deviating, beating bread, cooked by carnies or eggs or something, okay, you know. So there's a technical effect, I think, that happens. But beyond that, in terms of purification from that, there's also the fact that this is a specific contract between Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Right? And so when his followers are following the contract, Krishna looks and sees, oh, these are Bhaktivedanta Swami's followers, they're following this contract. Okay, this is what was happening. So Krishna reacts. And it, you're chanting good rounds, you're following four principles strictly, but Maya is still getting to you. Kali is still getting to you. So Krishna, because you're following the contract, the personal deal, he won't let it happen. He'll give you some experience, or he'll give you some protection you don't even know you're getting, and he'll straighten you out. Not because it's a technical thing, but because of the personal agreement that you made. Because you made that agreement, we're going to protect you. Okay. And so you feel bona fide agent, representative of all that. Did that satisfy the challenge?
Sorry, it takes me a while to unmute. Yes, very good. Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj.
Although I do have one caveat. I'm sorry, just one thing I wanted to clarify. Nowhere do we find in any of the scriptures that we've studied torture is ever even mentioned. So that would not be a part of Vedic culture, is it?
Well, it's mentioned in the Manu Samhita. And it's mentioned in the last year of Dharma Shastra, both of which Prabhupada recommends. For example, in Parasya Dharma Shastra, it describes what you can do. You can beat people who've been acting bad. I think it says you can beat them on the shoulders, the hands, or you can strike them in the private spot. I won't go into more details of what the private spot is. But it's just right there, you know. It's gonna. So there, you know, it is very graphic. But the philosophy of Dharma Shastra is for Kali Yuga, and I think that he describes things which, you know, somebody who did something bad, they may be like, you know, they're some girl is walking home late and they drug her off in the bushes and raped her, you know. Okay, you know. And so they're not just like locked in prison for this time and giving free food and drugs. But, you know, the constables take you over and they just work you over. And so, and you're bloody and bleeding, maybe no broken bones or no teeth like that or something. Only that true wax of the driver's spot. But then, so like that, there are descriptions of physical punishment in the Dharma Shastra.
Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted Balabhadra. And also, there's somebody who's typing kind of loud. I can't do it. There's a try and make sure everybody else, if you're muted, unless you want to say something. Balabhadra, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Not a problem, Prabhu. It was just a thought, Maharaj, because you were sharing the conversation that took place between Ravindra Sarup and Srila Prabhupada. And I'm not sure if my comment is part of that same exchange that took place, but I remember when we were visiting Vrindavan, Ravindra Sarup was giving a class, and he was sharing the question about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer, where he says, when will the day be when court judges will wear tilak and like that? And so the question that was asked to Prabhupada was, does that mean that the devotees will one day be involved in politics? And he said that Srila Prabhupada said, yes, the devotees will definitely be involved in politics. I mean, the time to come when the judges were tilak, but he said that Prabhupada had explained, yes, one day the devotees will be.
Yeah.
all I'm at, bro. Just got one icon here that says... Hello? Can we hear me now?
I can hear you, Prabhu.
Yeah. Apologize. You're coming loud and clear.
Okay.
Maharaj, are you still there?
Come on, somebody has to be muted there. Making really big noise. Is Adi Lila light, getting light?
Maybe. Adi Lila and Jiva...
Yeah, I am muted.
Adi
Lila makes that.
Oh, I see what happened here.
There we are, Maharaj. I see you up on the screen now. This is the CD.
Connected because I can't connect the other way. Looks like we dropped. Anyway, that's a sign that maybe we should just quit right now. Sorry about that. Again, that's why we're experimenting with the platform's fine. Okay, I think we can adjourn right now. We look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow, Prabhu session.
Hi.
So, Prabhu, sorry for technical difficulties. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.